There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Eddie Larson, I just am so excited to be here with you.
Oh my God, we got Melania Trump is in the building.
Yes.
Exclusive interview. Exclusive interview.
Oh no, I forgot my panties.
Oh no.
Where are they? Oh, I found them in this gulch.
Now I have to ask, you know, while I got you in the room, what is it? I hear that there's rumors about you being a spy?
No!
What do you mean, no?
No, I will come out now to face all of these inflammatory rumors and lies about the poor slidey of American states.
No.
And the first thing I will say, never spy!
I never spy.
I can't see, I no hear, I no speak.
Oh, so you were just a normal sex worker?
Three monkeys? No see, no speak.
Oh, no see, no, no speak,
see,
no hear.
No speak, no hear.
You don't really care, do you?
No, I just, all I know is Donald has the most wonderful touch around my bosoms.
Yeah?
And he absolutely loves my full-grown 57-year-old body.
What is your favorite part about your husband's body?
I love his soul.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, most.
Just his soul. You're not physically attracted?
Mm-mm.
No?
Very personally attracted to him, his spirit, his attitudes.
How do you get him in the mood now that you're, like, in your 50s? Mm. You know, how do you get him in the mood still? How do you get the spark going still?
I kill a girl in front of him.
Oh, okay, yes.
I kill him every Christmas day. I tell him every morning when I wake up, I say, Merry Christmas, Donald. And he says, oh, you go, 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 go. You know, Donald.
Yeah, I
do. And then I bring him a child in wrapping paper, and we cut off his face.
Oh,
and
it's
then
a boy,
he gets,
child.
He, oh, yeah. Well, no, I can't tell. Long hair, but never see genitals. And then they go, and Donald gets so hard, 15 seconds. I have to hop on it.
Yeah.
Hop on it. Just to get it really good going.
I kid.
I don't have sex with him. I kid. You know me.
So is Baron his?
No, I'm Baron.
Oh, you're Baron. Oh, I understand now.
Yeah.
Yes, you named the child after your own vagina.
Yeah. Now that he has emptied it. Yes. What about Baron, my sweet, beautiful boy? My sweet, beautiful boy, soon to be killed in Iran.
Oh, but so nice.
Yes, very excited.
Oh.
Champ does not want him to go to Iran. Guess who gets to go to Iran now? Champ does.
Champ's going to Iran.
Not my baby.
Welcome to Side Stories. We're sending everybody to Iran. My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson. I know you thought I was Melania.
Oh, my God. It's Henry.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Same cup size.
Oh, man. See, I was... You know what it is? It was the beard that threw me. Because she's...
His beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. God, I wish he was gay. How much more fun would Trump be if he was gay?
Oh, man.
Now, Melania Trump, the reason why we're even talking about our lovely first lady is the fact that right after we recorded last week, which is... par for the course here.
Yeah, no, that's what we do. Wednesday's a big news day, but still, we don't care.
I don't know how to fix this issue. We can change when we record because we're locked into the schedule. We can't just continue to record. I guess we can record multiple days a week and then just put them all together.
Yeah.
Right?
Which just doesn't make sense.
Try to see if we hit the news randomly.
Yeah.
And then we could cobble the episode together.
Why don't we could just start guessing.
Oh, I'd love, honestly, we should save a minute after each episode for what might happen when this episode is released. So when we released last week's episode, we had done a little bit of an update. Let's hit it right now.
It's an island adventure.
Heck yeah, it's Jeffrey time.
It's an island adventure.
That's right.
Now, last week we covered a little bit and we were like, I distinctly remember at the end of our conversation, we were like, oh, and then Melania put out this nothing burger statement saying I did nothing wrong. And then
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And that turned the whole world upside down again. Because it seems like for a second, we had stopped talking about Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, I'm even angry that we even stopped for a second.
Yeah, well, you
right?
know.
Like, I'm disappointed in me that we stopped for a fucking minute.
You got to. I mean, well, we talk about it in our real life, but occasionally it's just got to be aggravating to everybody.
Well, the war obviously became more entertaining to everybody. We had a purposely, I'm sorry, let me take that back. It's an operation that we just did randomly that had no point to it, right? And we're just destroying our economy with it in order to distract from the Jeffrey Epstein story, which I think is really interesting because then his wife, our president's wife, unprompted, came out to the front of the White House, did a press conference just to basically say, I had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. All of those pictures that you're about to see are have been made up. I have never done this. I never slept with Jeffrey Epstein. I didn't do this. I came here. She kind of did a little mini summary of her history for some reason.
Sounded real innocent.
Real innocent. I always find
she's not a victim.
She's not a victim, but.
That means she's involved, right?
She did very. I am on the management. Yes, I do a bit of the, I am kind of a, would you say, a spiritual advisor. And so, but Melania opened up a Pandora's box that has been just wonderfully, wonderfully open. Thank you. Thank you, Melania. Because it gives us an opportunity to ask these questions now. Because Melania decided to just bring Epstein back up into the fucking daylight. And she asked for more investigations. And she asked for the U.S. government to listen to the victims. Now, this is after.
It is interesting that she says that and we're still mad at her. It's like the first time anyone said that.
Well, because you know why? It's because obviously she's doing this for bad reasons.
Yeah.
She's a Melania Trump, if you don't know. But, you know.
Was this in the doc?
No, the doc, like, didn't the doc have mostly to do with her, like, choosing plants and hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I refuse.
I didn't give it money.
I mean, it was directed by Brett Ratner.
Oh, we know.
So you know.
Yeah.
You know, it had a lot of action scenes, and you know, it had a lot of being like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you think that happened?
Last time I saw Brett Ratner in person, you know who he was hanging out with?
Who?
Jordan Belfort.
Oh, I've met Jordan Belfort. He is an interesting character. And it happened. Absolute con person. But for those of you that don't know, so Melania Trump, she apparently met Donald Trump at the Kit Kat Club by this guy. She was like introduced by this, the Italian Trump, Paolo Zampoli.
We brought him up on the show a couple weeks ago. We're like, what about this guy? We were interested about this guy.
And we didn't know, right? So I guess about 2 months ago. So one big question here is like, all right, so Melania Trump brought out all of this stuff, right? She immediately, she said, I wasn't guilty of all of these things. Immediately, we're all like, why is she doing this? Is she trying to get ahead of something? The first thing that the media pointed to was this story about Paolo Zampoli's maybe wife, girlfriend, wife. We couldn't quite know their exact relationship, I believe, right? But we know that they had like a common law relationship, which led to a child custody battle. Now, the first thing that happened 2 months ago, a story came out from a woman by the name of Amanda Ungaro.
Yes.
By the name Amanda Ungaro, who was Paolo Zampoli's wife, girlfriend. It seems like wife because they were having a custody battle over their children.
Yeah.
She was a model that was like turned into his, you know, like they've been together.
He picked her up at 16.
Yes. And he developed her into a wife.
Yes.
Which I think is super crucial because that's what he did. He's a real estate developer. Well, he started in real estate. Well, no, he didn't. He started as a toy developer. He was in a toy company. Then he sold his father's toy company to get into the very famous, you know, famously lucrative market of model agency. He just started a modeling agency immediately. He's a big, fat Italian fuck. He's exactly what you think.
I like it, a lady. I like it, a lady. I bring him around. I show you the lady.
Hey, you know what I like better? When a lady is a little baby. I like it when a lady is a baby.
And so he went, he was involved with Melania. So the way this first story starts, like maybe Melania is trying to get in front of this Ungaro story, in which she came out and she said that the United States government, somebody tipped off ICE in the middle of their custody battle.
Yeah.
And she was picked up by ICE, Ungaro, and then sent back home in the middle of their custody battle. And she reached out to Melania and said, we're friends. Why aren't you helping me? She eventually then took to Twitter to say, I'm now going to come out and tell the whole world everything I know about your relationship with Paolo.
Yes.
Right? Which we're all like, oh, maybe she's trying to get in front of this story with her statement. But this story is 2 months old.
Yeah.
So Melania effectively kicked the story up. She did it. She has elevated
the
story.
We wouldn't be paying attention to this at all.
No, it was already out there. So now we know that that's the explanation. So then I was watching an interview with Michael Wolff, our favorite fucking reporter. Yeah. He was saying, which I thought was interesting, is that he was wondering if the statement had anything to do with the direct accusations he made on a podcast about Epstein sleeping with Melania before Donald Trump and them met. Yeah. So this was a big thing with Melania. She got really, really upset, sent him a $1 billion defamation suit through the White House's lawyers. He's been fighting it, basically saying, we're allowed to say whatever we want about you guys. Like, essentially, we can conjecture, we can think about this, but also...
Let's hope so.
It is a state fake... Like, seriously, I mean, so far... He's trying to deal with this, but he was wondering if it had something to do with his own personal battle with Melania, because now Melania is suing him. They're trying to take it up to federal court. But he's also saying that doesn't make any sense either, because we're already in the middle of this thing. Why? Yeah. What is she trying to get in front of? Don't know. Is she just saying it because she's so fucking pudding-brained, just like her husband, that she's just thinking that it is not time for me to make my stand? Who knows? It could be that, too. It could be very much her just deciding... randomly being like, I just heard about these things and I must tell the world, because she knows she's one of the people doing those things.
I could see a world where she like knows that this exists, but has completely removed herself from society and television and just like walks around the White House and fucking...
Well, she doesn't... They say that when she comes to the White House, it's like a visiting head of state. She's never... She doesn't live there. She lives in New York.
Trump Tower in New York.
Yeah, she lives in New York. She's not... She is a New York resident, essentially. She lives with her a giant... soon-to-be murderer son, and they do a whole... God knows what they do in that place.
From what I heard, she's banging one of the Tiffany's guards that, like, works in the store downstairs.
Good for her.
It's what I hear.
Good for her.
Yeah,
all of this shit is to be said is that no one knows what actually happened. So it seems that Melania, over all of this discussion, has been intensely controlling over her timeline. Mm-hmm. And where she came from and what she did. When she was a young woman, right? Like, going into research of her life is very interesting because there are no modeling books.
Even though we know her as a model.
Quote unquote a model. But she was never a supermodel, right? No. She just did some gigs. She did a couple of things here and there. There was she got connected to Paolo Zampoli.
Private dancer. Dancer for money.
She was Yeah, she's a prostitute. But that's not what they were saying. So we don't know. She called herself a model. She got linked up with these various guys. It seemed that Epstein, she got a massive camel ad in 1997, which was her big break in America.
Okay.
Up until then, she had very little. Like, if you look at the Paolo Zampoli, like, her modeling agency.
Now, was she the camel?
She doesn't really got them two humps. Yeah. But Paolo's, like, we don't know whether or not she got this gig because of Epstein or Paolo Zampoli. Up until this point,
it was Paolo Zampoli because he's supposed to be a modeling agent.
But it seems that she came over to the United States of America on this Einstein visa. She is an absolutely fake architecture design degree. None of that is real. We know that that's fake. Yeah. We have no idea how she got this Einstein visa.
So she's not redesigning the ballroom?
No, Eddie. No. I think about ideas and Donald comments and Tiny Hand say no. Tiny Hand say no. And so, because it could be that she got this gig through Jeffrey Epstein, because as she was coming over, it seemed that Paolo Zampoli had already handed her over to Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein and Paolo were all investing in the same modeling agencies over in Europe, who also was Donald Trump. They all moved in the same circles. Donald Trump is a professional cuck. He loves having sex with other friends' wives. That is a thing that Michael Wolff has said. He is a professional at sloppy seconds. He loves knowing that a guy he likes has made love to a woman first, because he's just interesting guy. Yeah. And so Jeffrey Epstein probably hinted to him about Melania. Now, again, where does Melania come from? This little town in Slovenia.
Yes.
Her old boyfriend, a guy by the name of, like, Lurger Schnersnik, a guy named Jure Zorcek.
Okay.
He is her, like, her old Slovenia boyfriend, who was, like, a rich guy back there. And he was, like, she never talked about America. She was going to be here. She was going to stay in Europe and live the fashion life in Europe, an easygoing kind of flitting between worlds. And I think that Donald Trump sort of promised her the same thing. You're going to come in here. I'm going to get you some of these modeling gigs. You're going to have an easy life for the rest of your life. And I think that Melania was really interested in that. And also because she's probably a passive spy for any one of these agencies. Now, to be a passive spy is really easy.
That would mean that she has some sort of intelligence.
No.
You think that spies can be stupid?
Yes. All a spy has to do is place a listening device. All a spy has to do is say, these are XY things I've heard. That's all a spy's got to do is be embedded and present. So once you're in there,
so
yes,
who would she be a spy for? Russia?
Anybody. Anybody who wants to pay you money to get secrets from inside of the White House. It doesn't, again, I
but
don't
she's
know.
She's been with him for long enough.
Yes.
She's been with him long enough where he wasn't even trying to be president. When they got together.
Yes. And I think that was probably one of the big contingencies, is that it would not go farther than this. And then I'm just throwing things out there.
I like it. No, I'm just saying.
I was throwing things out there. I have no idea. The main issue is the fact that we have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea really what her story is. We've tried to put it together. We don't quite know where she came from, but it does seem that she probably, but who knows? Now we might get sued by the White House, hopefully, because that'd be great.
Yeah.
Honestly, we need the numbers.
Would they sue us or Sirius and Netflix?
Hopefully them. Hopefully them. And then we can just be like, we're little artists. How am I supposed to know? You know, I don't know. I'm
well,
just
all
stupid.
This isn't, you know, we don't know if this is true or not. We're just asking questions.
Yes. Well, I'm now deeply invested in what Melania knows and what she's going to do about it.
Yeah. Well, she obviously knows something. She was on the plane. I mean, there's plenty of reports of her banging Trump on the plane, and that's how he met.
Well,
but
we
now
know,
we're talking about now the she met through Paolo Zampoli.
Was she fake? This Kit Kat Club meeting?
Yeah.
The whole famous meeting where she met and that Donald Trump asked her for her number and she said, no, you give me yours. And then he gave her his number because he was separated from his wife at the time. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. And then everyone joked with Melania. I was reading an article from 2017 about Melania, about how they met. And they were joking with her being like, oh, what is it about Donald you love? Is it the tiny hands? Is it the comb over? And she said, no, he's a real man.
Oh, God.
Which is not true.
Yeah.
Man can barely get it up. He can barely get it up. He's got a little tiny penis. And
he can't walk and he has to drink water with two hands.
Yeah. So he's definitely like, he's a real, like, he's in terms of like, he farts and shits and pisses and shit.
Yeah. Real men really, you usually don't punch 13 year olds in the face while they're giving them head.
No, never.
Real men usually don't do that.
No. No, normally you wake up screaming from that horrible dream.
Yeah.
Also, what I wanted to get into a little bit was Jeffrey Epstein's connections into Cipriani's and Soho House.
Oh,
how
really?
All of this shit.
I love Soho House.
Off the list.
Come on. No.
Cipriani's is like, it was the favorite place of Trump.
I could
Jean-Luc
see them
Brouwel,
running,
Epstein,
place to like bring,
yeah. Paolo Zampoli, all of these prostitutes went through Cipriani. All of these sex, where people were literally trafficked through the restaurant. They were trafficked through Soho House. Also, Jeffrey Epstein was specifically hooking people up with Cipriani and Soho House memberships as a way to, like, as little thank yous.
That's why they're so expensive.
That's why they're filled with fucking dickheads.
Oh.
And predators.
Well, fam. Well, the good thing about dickheads and predators, they don't talk to you when you're around.
You see, that's the thing. It's
true. You can just go and get your work done, and they'll shut up.
It's completely
like...
true. It's like, oh. If you've ever been into a Delta Lounge in Milwaukee, you understand what that means, right? Because
these
Midwest businessmen fucking chat you up forever. All they want to do is yap about whatever garbage it is.
Let me tell you about plastic.
Just be like, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be fucking dead. Tell me you're a human trafficker. At least that's interesting. But that's why I didn't go to Soho House.
Oh, man. You've been to Soho House.
I've been inside of it, but I'm not a member.
I'm not a member either, but, you know, I think it's more because I couldn't afford it.
But hey, Eddie. Now you can afford to be a pervert. But yeah, I guess that's really all I wanted to get into because, and but also all this comes from Michael Wolff. Michael Wolff, though, I think is interesting in the fact that he knows more than anybody, and whatever you think about him, and his call on this is just straight up, we have no idea what that press conference meant, and we have not gotten any answers yet.
Yeah, so she saw someone like showed her some pictures that they found.
Maybe. She also would, because also remember, she said that she didn't know Ghislaine. Meanwhile, cut through the email that we have Ghislaine calling her sweet pea. Yeah. And they all like, you know, there are little things back and forth. There was a bunch of stuff deleted. She's Melania is a fucking liar as well.
Of course.
So Melania is also not that brilliant of a liar. I also thought it was amazing is that, one of the big holes in her history came from several photographers saying, the thing that's interesting about Melania is that, yes, she's objectively beautiful. She has a beautiful editorial face. But they were all like, she is shockingly bad at modeling.
Yeah.
She's bad at the job.
Well, she doesn't have, she only has one face.
Well, she doesn't, she just she has a severe, never, yeah. Well, she kind of smiles in these old ones, but most of them have something. They all specifically said smile. She didn't have the fucking chops to be a model. So all of these guys had to help
her. That's why she had to fuck this guy.
Yes. And I think that, and honestly, Melania does not want to talk about her main goal in life was to fuck a Donald Trump and to just allow that life to coast for her. But that's not a crime, Melania. It's not a crime to be a lazy woman.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not a crime. You could have lived that life, and guess what? None of us would have heard of you, and you would be having the time of your life right now. And Melania, I have a tip for you. Divorce him.
That'd be wild.
Do it right now. Go divorce him.
I mean, well,
right,
she got to be careful.
Now.
I mean, like, one of his ex-wives randomly fell down the stairs mysteriously.
She had bad ankles.
And now she's buried on his property.
She had bad
so they
ankles.
Couldn't investigate.
Melania's on that reformer every 3 days. Melania has a sense of balance. Melania, you know where the bodies are buried. This is your time, Melania. This is your freedom. This is, I'm calling to you, Melania. You can get out. You can get out, man.
Call to Amanda Ungaro, man.
Call Amanda.
I want her. I want to know everything she knows.
Like, oh,
she says she could bring the whole thing down. I want to do it.
Well, yeah. Where are we at with that?
What the fuck are you? What do you mean you're? It's like now. It's like what? Are you extorting them
with the quickness?
Now I don't like you because you would just tell us if you fucking knew if you were doing the right thing.
She's not even extorting them because she would have gotten the money already. They were very fine with paying people for a while.
Yeah.
But also,
well, they deported
people.
Her.
Yeah, they deported her. And she should immediately be
and
spilling
she,
the
like,
beans.
Spent,
and
the like, fact months that she, in a detention camp.
Yep, and the fact that she's not spilling the beans is also really interesting, which shows that Paolo Zampoli is something on her. And I also think that guy's probably pretty fucking dangerous because Jeffrey Epstein said so as much as when he was talking with a Russian spy about hanging out with Zampoli. And he said, be very, very careful hanging out with him. And then he followed up with, he always tells stories to the press.
Interesting. So there we go. Now we're talking. Now
we're here.
Now stories are coming out.
But these stories are getting, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Melania brought it back up from the dead. And I want to say thank you.
I want to, here's something I noticed about this email Melania sent to Ghislaine. And I noticed a lot of the people always call Jeffrey Epstein J.E.
Yeah.
But like, I would never be like, you know, H.Z. You know, I would never, I'd be like,
because I'm not a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah. But you say Jeff, you say Mr. Epstein, you know, like.
You know, there are a lot of.
It's weird.
I feel like
me.
That is a. It's a rich person's affectation.
Yeah.
I think it's a rich person's affectation.
Yeah, because that's a bizarre thing to me. I never really understood that.
But I like our buddy Billy Wayne, I'm going to start calling him BW.
B Dubs.
BW is a good name.
BW3, because he's got three names.
Wow, yep.
Yeah, yeah, Billy
oh,
Wayne Davis. Yeah, yeah, we're going to be with him in Alaska this weekend. I'm very excited. We still got some tickets left for Fairbanks in Portland.
Yeah, come out to the fucking middle of nowhere. And also Portland. Where are we at in Portland?
We're at the Siren.
That's right.
On 420. Yeah, we're getting stoned in Portland.
Dude,
for
come out. We're
going
to be so fucking high. It's
yeah,
be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Live from your grave.
All right, let's get into some other news. Eddie, we have, again, another big update.
We got two big updates, but, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, so we got, I think this show's mostly updates today.
Yeah, well, updates, but also new fucking information that it has come to light because of the updates. Rex Heuermann.
Yeah, this is the biggest one. I've been wanting to talk about this for so long.
This is a story I've been kind of avoiding because...
You haven't let me, and now we can.
Yes, because, well, the reason why I was avoiding it was because I wanted to, like, get some closure on it before we talked about it, because everybody was already calling him guilty. There was all of these documentaries...
They just saw his face and body and demeanor.
He's a literal...
In evidence.
Fucking monster. Yeah, I mean, there was so much evidence. So
he's one of the scariest people I've ever seen in my life.
He was a very scary individual. Rex Heuermann, he has come out and he has finally pled guilty to 8 murders. He is the Long Island serial killer. He is Lisk. We know that the Gilgo Beach 4, that was when he was first arrested as a suspect in these 4 women that have went, 4 sex workers that were found on Gilgo Beach in 2010. And then from then on, like, Lisk kind of went away. Lisk went away. They didn't know quite what he was doing. And it turns out he was hiding in plain sight. Rex Heuermann, he's a 6'8". 330-pound fucking hulking swollen-eyed beast who is a evil fuck. He came out and he basically just went, "Duff, duff." His voice is amazing.
Yeah.
His voice is when they were like, "Do you plead guilty?" "Duff, duff, yes I do. Yes, yes I do. Yes."
He's just trying to sound defenseless.
"Yes I do. Yes." No, because then also when they first accused him, he cried and he was like, "I would never do it." But it seems that, you know, there was so much fucking evidence. First of all, there was the...
How did he get it's so crazy that, like, someone so massive could get away with murdering people for so long.
You know what I find interesting is, this is, I think, why it took so long and then why they worked so fucking hard to nail his ass after the fact. So Rex Heuermann lived on Long Island, surrounded by police.
You boys with the cops, hung out with them all the time.
His number one subject, the thing that he was fascinated with, was serial killers. Rex Heuermann is one of those guys.
So he's like a fanboy.
He was a full fanboy of somebody specific. Ed Kemper.
Really?
Another big boy. And so what he did was he read the book Mindhunter, and he got really into reading about Ed Kemper, and he learned from Ed Kemper. He learned from Ed Kemper about how, when he understood Ed Kemper,
I do root for fat guys myself. Like, whenever I see a lineman pick up the ball and start running for the end zone, I get so excited.
I mean, same. I miss fat actors. I miss fat, ugly actors.
Yeah, no, I'm always rooting for them.
Oh, every time. And so Ed Kemper... 6'8", 9. I want to say he was 9. He was called the co-ed killer. He was one of those. He'd be around UCLA. He murdered his mother, decapitated her. He would do dry runs. He said, so basically, Rex Heuermann learned from him, from this monster. Number one, Ed Kemper knew that his size might make women nervous. So he began to do dry runs where he would see how a woman would react if he pulled them into the car and then drove them past where he told them that he was going to take them, because he would pick up hitchhikers. So that's the first experiment. He would try to see these things just to see what people would do. Rex Heuermann knew.
That's like science experiment type shit. That's like hypothesis mixed with, you know. Like,
yeah, all you have to be is a tremendous loser.
Yeah.
And you can devote a lot of hours into killing women. Like, you just have to not have anything else going on. You know what I mean? You just have to be a talentless, fat-faced, loser incel, right?
Yeah.
So Rex Heuermann learned from this, which is interesting, because he had a wife and kids, but it wasn't enough. He's a sexual sadist. So he's one of those guys that kills and tortures for fun. Like, he likes to do that. Is the pleasure that comes with, like, is all of the
so the women they found were, like, mutilated and shit.
Well, they were taken apart because he was moving the bodies. So
okay,
this is one of those interesting things.
I don't really know much about this whole case, to be honest with you.
So it is, we now know it's 8 sex workers, probably 12. That were murdered. They were left along the Gilgo Beach area in Long Island for the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So they had been, once they finally nailed him, how they nailed him was that they put his very specific car at 2 separate scenes. He had bought this giant man's car.
Yeah, you got to kill in a Camry.
But he could fit in a Camry. So he had a green Avalanche. Ever seen an Avalanche?
No.
Look at this. Show it, Rob. An Avalon, it's an extremely specific big man's car.
Oh, okay.
Especially in Long Island, right?
So it was this giant fucking car.
Yeah, and it was this. Forest Green. That was the first thing.
It's pretty cool.
They tracked him back to his house. So according to police, whether you believe this or not, they put a stop on reporting of List because they were like, in their minds, what I do think, it does make sense. He's like, they'd be like, we wanted Lisk to go to sleep. We wanted Lisk to go to sleep so that when he went to sleep, we could go looking for him, right? Because we're going to put the pressure on, which is what he did. They hid a bunch of stuff behind. They eventually pulled all these things together. They found out about this giant man in an Avalanche, right? Because at first they didn't know whether or not Avalanche was his nickname, and then they finally realized it was a car, right? Because they kept saying Avalanche. They tied him to that. They followed him for a while. They see that he's this big, huge, lumbering guy. They finally go, and they take a piece of pizza crust that he had left behind, right? Which is why you always eat your crust, fat boy.
Always eat your crust. Yeah.
Always eat your crust.
Yeah, I know
always,
you're trying to cut your carbs there, Rex.
That's not the time, man. That's the
He's
time.
In New York,
don't
too.
Eat
it's
pizza.
Good.
Oh, yeah, it's good pizza. Yeah.
Especially Long Island.
Yeah, it's good, man. And so the cops basically corroborated the DNA from the piece of hair.
Pizza crust just sitting in his car?
No, they followed him.
Oh, and because he threw it out the window like a cigarette?
No, he put it in a trash can.
Oh, okay.
And they picked it out of the trash can. And so he had so much evidence against him. So that when they got him, they actually worked. It worked. The plan worked. He had went to sleep. So they got everything. They got all the hard drives, all the cars, all the cell phones. He had no time to get rid of anything. He had so much fucking evidence on him between the planning document. They had a whole planning document that had all of the things he wrote down.
Yeah, you got to burn those.
He even wrote on the planning document, destroy planning document.
Because
he's a fucking moron. He's a fucking idiot.
These are all
guys that think that they're smarter than they are.
Finish your list, people. You make the list for a reason. Get to the end of it. And once you cross it all off, then you celebrate.
Then the list is done. I was looking at this one really interesting video that came from a podcast called Sinister with Joss Zaman. Mm-hmm. I don't really know it very well, but this guy came on, Mark Safarik, who was an FBI profiler. He does an hour-long uninterrupted talk about Rex Huerman. And he said one of the things that's interesting about sexual sadists is because they take a lot of time. BTK. Green River Killer. Like, he became, like, they
but
take a lot
Green
of time.
Green River Killer was an idiot.
But they all take, you don't have to be an idiot to plan.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be a genius to plan. You know what I mean? You just need time. And so, at first, our Lisk, he was spending a lot of time planning. And this guy, this FBI profiler, says, if you notice, the bodies go from farthest point to closest point. So you could see his very first kill, he drove as far out as he could.
Because he was scared.
But then you watch him get more comfortable with each kill. And then you watch him see exactly where he put the body, which I thought was really interesting. He's like, serial killers don't use curves in roads. They don't use blind hills. They don't use these things. You want a flat stretch of road in which you can see miles down either way of a highway for hours at night.
Gotcha. So that makes sense.
So yeah. It's like this stuff, what's very interesting. The sexual,
you don't want a Fargo situation.
No. And sexual sadists also, the planning is also part of the kink. It's a part of the whole sexual thing. So it became his whole life. And then I do think it was also interesting that the FBI profiler finds out. He's like, normally too with sexual sadists, they die out. Like, in terms of their crime, their criminality dies out, like, around the age of 50.
When they start going impotent.
Yep. Yeah. And that when they start losing the want, you start to see it go. And you see it here, too, around 47 years old, Rex Huerman. He can't even get it up for murder anymore.
Yeah. Well, his heart's all clogged and shit.
Yeah, he's a big, fat piece of shit. You can hear him, like, that's one of the worst parts of when he comes in to plead guilty, was that you just hear, man, he's got that James Gandolfini resting snore.
Oh.
You know, like, you ever see James Gandolfini's last movie?
Oh, yeah.
You can hear it on his lav mic.
Yeah, they couldn't do nothing about it.
There's nothing you could do about it.
Where it's like, said, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where it's same thing. Rex Huerman is standing next to it. You know, towering, big, fucking, fat, evil meatball. She's going.
Yeah, they'll just find him dead from sleep apnea in his cell one day.
Yeah, he'll die in there. And I think that largely the reason why he pled guilty, because he was going to fight it. But I think the reason why he pled guilty is because he did not want to bring his family into it.
He's a family?
Oh, yeah.
Well, his daughter was already getting pulled into it.
And she was defending him, too.
Yeah, like, because she was just a goth.
Of course she was.
She was just a goth girl who was into, like, murder podcasts.
So they were going to.
She's involved.
They were going to destroy her.
Oh, man. Well, she's got to be really excited.
But I do find it interesting.
She is the story, finally. Yeah.
It's finally me. Oh, I knew this would finally happen to me. But yeah, that's the Rex Uhrman update.
We are absolutely
going to do a series. Yeah.
There has to be more, right?
Oh, well, 12 at least.
20 years. I mean, like, that's less than 1 year.
12 over 20 is quite a bit.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I don't understand. Like, I thought.
He killed, like, what would happen is that.
Did he do it, like, in bundles, or did he do it, like, one every, yes. like, year and a half?
It seemed he would do, like, one, three.
Interesting.
That's kind of how he did it.
There's cool down periods yes. between them, too. That's part of the whole serial killer thing.
Yeah. And he's getting psychological feedback from planning the next one. So, Rex Uhrman, we're absolutely going to do a last podcast on the left on him at some point, just because the idea of somebody being amongst the police, being embedded in the police
and
is
really
interesting.
He was a construction guy, right?
He was an architect.
Yeah.
He actually had has an architectural degree, unlike Melania.
He was,
you know,
that's crazy.
Yeah, hey,
wasn't he like respected in the community? Or
well,
no?
he had a job. He worked for the city.
Okay,
you know, he was like an accredited real architecture guy. Like he was like a real.
That could be bodies like in cement and shit.
Who knows?
Right?
Who knows? He has a lot of. I'm just saying, we got him. He has decided to put himself to bed. He doesn't get to wear suits anymore, and he's going to be very safe in jail.
Yeah.
So
usually they stick to like their thing too. His thing was just dropping them off at the beach.
And girls.
Yeah. And girls.
Yeah.
So
he probably, there's a lot of talk about more than likely he went back to visit them. Yeah. Because we now know that that's like a major MO of a sexual sadist.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go back and spend time with them.
Man,
it's total control.
It's so weird. Like, just go.
You're right, Eddie. It is really weird. I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, because I always look at from a rational angle. You know, like, I try to look at it like, all right, I'm a serial killer. How would I get away with this? First thing I would do is not go back to the body.
Well, again, Eddie, you don't want to have sex with these bodies. You're not a, you know what you're really missing here is you're not a serial killer. So that's the problem is that you're missing the motivation. Because that's what it's about. It's about motivation.
You're right.
All right, we have another update.
Oh, my God.
Another fucking update.
Finally, this one's brought to you by Crime Wave at Sea.
CrimeWaveAtSea.com/last. It's sponsoring this story because we don't go on Carnival.
Yeah, that's right. We won't do it. Life is a carnival, but not for these people. Florida teen officially is facing a life sentence in the cruise ship killing. Yes, the 16-year-old is officially charged with murdering his 18-year-old stepsister.
So, well, we knew this, but the horrible thing is the update is that she was, yes, and sexually assaulted. So that is indeed true.
A little bit of, like, I was trying to my best to give this kid, like, a little bit of, like, oh, maybe it was an accident or a roughhousing.
You
that
were
went
really
far.
Trying, yeah.
And
yeah.
then it's it just, was I not. Can't anymore. No, it's official, not. Like, he's, he sucks.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Guess what, man? It's too much porn out there, man.
It really, I
love porn. We gotta know porn's not real.
Yeah, I can't help but think about that. Like how like stepbrother porn and stepsister porn like has to have something to do with this.
Yeah, you know, but and also it's just like, it does and it doesn't.
I don't know, man.
The thing about again,
why can't you just want to fuck a person you know?
It's still legal.
Like, why does it have to be like what?
It's still crazy illegal to have sex with your step sibling.
Yeah.
It's legal.
I know, but I just feel like you put all that evil juju in the air, and this is what happens. It comes back to bite you eventually.
Well, I think that there's a distinct difference between the presence of porn and somebody becoming so wrapped up in the pornography that they believe that the scenarios are happening for real. And when you're already, when you're a little dude and you have no fucking idea because you're a moron.
Yeah, you think I'm going to become pizza delivery guy and I'm going to get laid all the time.
Well, my stepsister's now in the crew's bedroom with me. That I've seen that in three of my websites.
I was a plumber.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
No, it's
how
not.
It goes.
No,
I know it's
not.
No, you see a lot of guys like me going, yeah, the patient's in here. Yeah, we had a long Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was me, Murray.
They're liars.
It was my old buddy, Phil the Spreader. He did concrete.
Oh, yeah.
And he gaped for gay porn.
Yeah, but
love
this
Phil.
This happened in Florida, so this kid could be fucked.
No, I thought that it made legal there.
Yeah, you're right.
To rape your stepsister. I thought it was legal there because they said that it was she was asking for it by getting involved with the previous marriage, them being their parents.
It's Northern Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. South Florida.
Do you have to deal with that around did you have a lot of, at the P-Funk Festival, did you have a lot of stepbrothers and stepsisters hanging out there?
No. The P-Funk Festival, there were no steps. We'll get it. I don't want to attach them to the story.
You don't?
No.
So that's all the update is to show that unfortunately Brazzers is not real.
Yeah.
Don't let him. It's not real. It's never going to be real. No, your stepsister doesn't want to have sex with you. Your stepsister definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
Your stepsister wants you far away from her as humanly possible.
Yeah.
But I will say, Eddie, I know what you're saying. On the little screen, it's okay. They're actors and actresses. But I do think on some level, we should probably steer it back to, I miss employment-based pornography.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like that?
I miss employment-based.
But that's bad too.
No, it's not.
That's bad.
What are you talking about? That's the whole Me Too movement.
No, but that's fun. Again, Eddie, I'll say this is where I'll maybe even speak to slightly. Power play dynamics in a sexual situation make a lot of sense in terms of simulated sexual play. Those power dynamics is where you would explore those that in an environment like that. In my,
as long as the lady's doing the interviewing.
You got it. You got it, Eddie.
I need a disclosure situation.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the woman boss.
Yeah. No.
No, I don't like the woman secretary. Yeah. I like the woman boss. I am. I'm all about that. Y'all know me.
Well, this 16-year-old.
Y'all know my MILF style.
Yeah. This 16-year-old is now facing federal counts of first-degree murder.
Good.
And aggravated sexual abuse.
Bye-bye.
Now, is first degree the right thing to put on this?
Yes, very much so.
You think so?
Yep, it was all planned. And sponsored by Carnival Cruises. And that's the worst part, which is why over at Crime Wave at Sea, we don't go on Carnival because, yeah, we like to treat our fans like royalty.
That's right.
Over our Royal Caribbean Lines, truly one of the most beautiful ships you can be on, and some of the best entertainment possible over at Crime Wave at Sea.
Live from your grave.
Well, now that we're done talking about this kid murdering his sister, P-Funk Fest was wonderful.
And Arna.
It was totally legal.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of fun.
That is great. And what was your favorite? What was the favorite moment?
So I have a couple favorite moments, but I got to say, first off, shout out to Shonda Clinton and Shoshana Zisk. They put on an amazing festival. They were so much fun to work with. Shonda Clinton, she is the sativa diva. I didn't realize it until met her. I'm like, you're a sativa diva. She's like, oh, yeah, honey. So I gave her a big blunt. They love me. But my favorite moment was when I show up, they're like, okay, so you're leading the ribbon cutting ceremony. I was like, what? And there's a proclamation given to George Clinton from the County of Leon.
Is this when you just got off a plane?
Dude, I was like, I was there for like an hour.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, I'm sitting there. I don't know. I'm trying to win everyone over. So I'm wearing like George Clinton paint the White House black t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they got me up there with like county commissioners and billionaires and judges and shit.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like doing a ribbon cutting ceremony with George. And I'm just like doing my best. I curse immediately.
Oh, yeah,
like,
of course.
I'm just not ready for this at all. And I just like immediately, I'm just like, and then we're starting this festival off with the least funky people in the house.
Yeah.
That was like, great, though.
It was great. We did it. We did the whole thing. And first band came out. And then afterwards, just to like make sure they didn't stick around or anything, I just went on a huge DeSantis rant.
Yeah, good work.
I was just like, just let everyone know where we stand. You know, I'm also trying to win everyone over. I should not be a part of this.
No.
I should not be the MC of like the blackest thing I've ever been to.
No, but.
But it worked out.
And you were.
I'm a super fan. That's why it kind of worked out, is because I know everything about P-Funk.
You do know everything about fucking P-Funk.
And so it was great. And so, and then, but the best part was bringing Holden, and I made Holden play this character called Frank the Unfunky Cop.
Yeah.
Because
I was really worried
about just getting booed. And so I was just like, you know.
Why did I make it purposeful?
Yeah. I was like, what I'll do is I'll bring a foil. That way I'm not the foil. So I'm like, who do I know that's the biggest foil on earth?
Holden McNeely.
Holden McNeely is the biggest foil on earth.
Especially for a crowd of older African-American people.
Honestly, I can't believe like I slowly won them over throughout the night. And it's just like, honestly, I've never been so proud of myself. I thought like at the end of it, Holden and I both looked at each other because we didn't bring it up beforehand. We're like, I was very scared.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, so I had this reoccurring bit with Holden where he played Frank the Unfunky Cop, and he kept that coming out and like telling people like to stop dancing and don't do drugs and stuff. And then like the second time he came out, he had like a boa and he's like, I ate a cookie.
I love that fucking shit.
You know, it was great. And then I turned him into Sir Nose, and like he started like dancing. I'll show a video later on the stream next week or something. But yeah, he's like literally like, I'm like, because Sir Nose, I don't know if you last time you see him, he like always like picks up his shirt and shows his abs.
Yeah, he's like a sexy guy.
I was like, jerk nose, jerk white, shitty white guy, Sir Nose, show him your abs. And he's like, pulls up his shirt. He's like, I have an umbilical hernia. Don't look at it.
And I saw the video. I also love the fact that like Ed showed me the video and you just hear older black people just talking about old men. Like,
just go, what an asshole.
What an asshole. God, it's
good. So great. And there was a big tribute, and I dressed like Gary Scheider. I put on a diaper, and like while I'm on stage, like giving this like meaningful tribute in a diaper, like honestly, bringing tears to the eyes of the people in the audience, because I'm like reading a poem about death, you know, like but the guy who I was honoring, Gary Scheider, his son Garrett Scheider, go listen to his shit, it's fucking awesome. He was in the band Coming Up Next, and he came on stage, and he like, what the fuck are you doing? And I told him this great story about what the time I met his dad, which was I was backstage at the 930 Club in D.C. watching P-Funk, and he had brought me on stage earlier because I was the only person backstage dancing and stuff, and so he like brought me on stage, like giving high fives to people, and then later on, I'm sitting backstage, and he comes up to me, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to talk to Gary Scheider. I'm so excited. And he looks me, he's in a diaper, looks me up and down, grabs my beer out of my hand, takes a swig, and he goes, tastes like piss. Gave it back to me. It was just like, it was amazing. I had such an amazing time. The first annual P-Funk Fest was a total success. Make sure you check them out on the road. I feel like they're in like a really good space right now as a band, which is crazy to say after like 70 years.
But you know, because I was watching some footage, it seems like they're a little bit more stripped down.
Yeah.
It's very tight. George is fucking present.
He was jumping, dude. He was so ready. He was having the best time.
84 years old.
He's almost 85. He was celebrating his 85th birthday, which is in July.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. No, it was incredible. And then the show in Jacksonville was great, too, at the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp Stadium.
Yeah, so much fun.
We had Lexi on stage, and shout out to Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and Evan Rossi for coming out.
Dude,
it was so much fun.
Our live shows are just, we've gotten really good at them. You gotta come check them out. Come check out Netflix is a Joke. We're gonna have some special guests, too, over May 7th.
At the Avalon Theater, 9:45 p.m. That's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of shows coming up. We'll tip you off about all that later.
A lot of fucking shows.
Wow.
We went a whole hour without talking about the other major story of the week.
Oh, that someone tried to kill Sam Altman?
No, not even that one.
Oh.
That one's a serious story.
Oh, are you talking about this chimpanzee civil war?
Chimp war!
Yes!
two brothers. One wore blue and one wore gray.
Chimp war!
And there's a chimpanzee war. Oh, that's right. The world. This comes from the BBC. Thank you, BBC. You know what? We owe you some credit after we took you down so hard for 3 weeks. The world's largest group of chimpanzees apparently have been in a brutal civil war for over 8 years.
Dude, I found interesting is that it very rarely happens.
Yeah, well, news travels slowly out of the chimp world.
It's hard because they don't have social media.
Yeah, and they're always trying to call you on bananas, and they're like, dude, look, guys, I know it looks like a phone, but it don't work. It was a joke.
Get a razor phone.
Yeah.
But Jane Goodall, first of all, I want to say before we get into the
shout
story,
out to that dead old bitch.
No, she's dead. She's dead. But
I love Jane Goodall.
I want to say
she's
that
she's honestly one of my favorite people.
I've been unfairly part of the, let's just say, some of the more vicious rumors about Jane Goodall. And I just want to say I'm sorry because, I'm going to come out here for the very first time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to unequivocally say that she has never had sex with the chimpanzee. No. I know that she hasn't, but...
I mean, she can't confirm or deny it.
But she did allow some local men to sleep in her tent for some time with her GameCube. That is, she did do that. She had a GameCube, and she would parlay sexual favors for time at the GameCube.
If they won.
But those are men.
They're human
men. And some women.
Oh, man. We talked
about Jane Goodall saw a war.
Oh, yeah. She saw a war.
Because she said that she had thought that chimps were inherently peaceful.
The Gombe chimpanzee war she witnessed.
So this isn't
back in the 70s.
So what's going on?
This happens all the time. You know, like chimpanzees, they go to war when they, you know, but this is like, but they're, what's interesting about this one is that we have more than ever, we're able to study it. And so basically with this one is.
Which one's done by Jeffrey Rush? Right? Wasn't he in Planet of the Apes? No.
No.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. You're getting him confused.
The other one. Mark Wahlberg? Who's in that one? Gary Oldman.
Mark Wahlberg's in the really bad Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one.
Yes.
That's the one he's in. Yeah. Each one of the new good Planet of the Apes have a new good actor.
Oh, what's his
Woody
name?
Woody Harrelson's in one.
Woody Harrelson, and then the other guy.
Jason Clarkson.
Who only
one.
Plays monkeys.
Andy
Serkis.
Andy Serkis. Yeah, Andy Serkis. He plays Caesar. But anyway, so the Ngogo chimpanzees at Uganda's Kambale National Park have been at war since 2018, where they have been 24 chimp-on-chimp murders, 17 of which are infants.
So how many arms are we selling them and... what do they get from Iran?
I mean, honestly, thank God they don't have weapons.
Man.
But that's not true, because like sometimes they do use sticks and rocks.
They do.
Yeah, which is fucking wild. But this is true brother on brother, blue versus gray. For eons, this was a beautiful community. 200 chimps used to be friends, lovers. They would hold hands. But now they are enemies. And what happened? Why?
So yeah, what breaks people up like this besides... Was it a lady?
No, you know, honestly, they don't know, and it could be.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It, a lot of it is like males like fighting for, you know, dominance and stuff like that. But it would.
And then, like, because like one was like, I know that one with Jane Goodall was like, the main leader was a monkey named Mike.
Yes.
Right? He was an ape named Mike. And then it seemed that one of the younger people that was like his right hand man was like, decided Mike shouldn't be in charge anymore.
Basically.
And then took three dudes and they walked away from everybody. And then that caused like a fight.
Yeah. And there were other chimps called Goliath. She named one of the chimps Satan.
Yeah, I know. It's strange.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah,
but I think
it was because
like the Latin term meaning like nemesis.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, all right. So in 2015, they started to separate. And basically in 2018, the war began. And the Western group is the aggressors. The West had launched 24 targeted attacks. And it basically every time they kill one. The numbers could be way higher.
Oh, sure.
This is just what we know.
But also, I find it interesting is how pointed the murders are, how the kills are pointed in their little society, too. Like, it's actual warfare.
Yes.
It's like pointed... at two specific groups.
Yeah, Planet Earth did really good job. They had a good segment about a chimpanzee war that they got.
I remembered that from back in the day. Yeah, it was like, it was the whole like, and as you can see,
There. What a wonderful, wonderful view into the intimate world of the warrior as he smashes the infant baby against her. I look at the joy in which he celebrates his victory over the child.
Yeah, and basically, chimps are omnivores. You know, they eat a lot of vegetables. It's mostly, they're more herbivore than carnivore.
But I got a lot of messages when we asked this question about other animals, and they do, most animals are opportunity eaters. Like,
yes.
No matter what, like a rhino will eat like a little, like a
chimps
squirrel
eat,
every once in a
chimps
while.
Chimps will eat bugs. They definitely eat a shit ton of bugs.
Thank you.
They like eating turtles.
Mm.
They, for some reason, they love, I guess they like getting in the shells and getting the meat out. It's probably fun for them.
And turtles taste good.
Yeah, and they eat tiny mammals. Sometimes they eat even smaller monkeys. But while at war, they turn cannibalistic.
Yeah, they eat the other people.
They eat, but they do it, like, it's never not at war. It's never like a chimp dies and they eat it. You know, that never happens. They, like, kill the chimp and eat it in front of, like, their families. And, like, they rip, and it's usually an infant, and they call it infant side. And they'll usually, and sometimes the women chimps do it as well.
Can we do this to a lot of senators?
We could. If their children are young enough, I believe we can.
I would love to do this. I feel like it would teach them some lessons.
And so they're trying to figure out, like, all right, so 24 are dead, 7 of them are adult males, 17 are infants. All right. And here's what they think it started the war. Maybe this is their theories. All right. The first were the deaths of 5 adult males and 1 adult female for reasons unknown in 2014. This could have started with disputed social networks and weakened social ties to the subgroups. The following year, there was a change in the alpha male, which the study says coincided with the first period of separation between the Western and Central groups. Changes in the dominance hierarchy can increase aggression and avoidance in chimpanzees. All right. Third factor was the deaths of 25 chimpanzees, including 4 adult males and 10 adult females.
Like it was an accidental death? Or
there was a respiratory epidemic in 2017.
Wow, and you're so literally looking at like the way systems are affected in human world or how they're affected in that world too.
Well, that is exactly where this all goes, because the why this is so interesting is that they're looking at this as like how ancient man developed conflict.
Yeah.
And like how it wasn't always, you know, so it wasn't always just like based off of like racism. And sometimes it was opportunity.
Well, it's just lots of stuff. It's the fact that it's an inherent part of our, like, there's some part of the monkey part of our brain.
Yes. Apes, please.
I'm sorry. There's some part of it that puts us in this place.
So
we like to fight.
According to the BBC, if chimpanzees, one of the species closest to humans genetically, could do so without human constructs of religion, ethnicity, and political beliefs, then relational dynamics may play a larger casual role in human conflict than often assumed.
But I mean, look at what we just covered when we covered the Hatfields and McCoys.
Exactly.
Right? You like basically see this like entire war set off.
These are families that hate each other.
Yes. And you're literally seeing it on an animal level, which is that like, what does that speak to? Do you think that speaks to, is it wonderful that we share this trait in terms of like a thing that we can see? Or is it one of those like, ugh, that's where it comes from?
I mean, I think it just shows that chimpanzees are just like fucking 40,000 years behind us and they're going to catch up eventually.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I fucking try it.
You know what is, I find very, the fact that
you don't want this smoke, chimps. You don't want this fucking smoke.
They will fucking rip your lips off.
I'm not saying fight me. No, I'm not saying fight me. I'm saying you don't want the modern world, chimps. You don't need an economy. Okay, live your life.
You know how much a chimp would love like a fucking porn tablet?
I mean, that's easy. Now we can hook up. Now we can hook up.
All right. I can make
a bunch of AI porn of Jane Goodall for these guys.
This shows a way that chimps are very advanced. This is my favorite thing that I learned about reading this story. Apparently, because of all of this war and stuff, that lady chimps, when they have a baby, because sometimes like there have been reports of them killing an infant that are like hours old.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have maternity leave.
chimpanzees have maternity leave. Like, they'll send her to a secluded, safe place in the forest, and she'll live there with her baby chip until it becomes old enough to kind of like walk around and fend for itself a little bit. So they have like a form of maternity leave.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that cool?
And again, it's like how, like, the percentage between us and them is like what? Like 2%?
I have no idea.
Like our DNA is like...
Well, we're closest to, was it macaques?
The macaques.
Macaques are the ones we're closest to.
Or the bonobos.
Or no, or was it one of the two?
Something like this. I think that chimps are like, they're, well, wow.
Sharing approximately 95 to 98% of their DNA.
Wow.
Look at that. That's AI, though.
Yeah. Sure. According to Reddit.
Yeah, how much AI do... How much DNA do we share with
can
AI?
Can chimps use bots to prop up a fucking band that they create in order to create it look like it was a natural groundswell for them, but instead that it just turns out they're all industry plants?
You fucking jerk off.
I don't think they can.
The bonobo is the closest. The bonobo is
the closest? Macaque.
Yeah, the bonobo.
I think I just like saying the macaque.
The macaque.
Yeah. I think that's the problem with that.
Because think about this, because geese was created by industry plants and bots, right? The band geese. Think about what happens if you get to band the chimps.
Oh, there has to be a chimps band. I imagine surf rock.
Yeah, sure.
If I were to guess what the band called the chimps are, I'm guessing surf rock.
I'm looking at them right now.
There has to be a chimps.
The chimps band
with a Z.
There's a chimps
with a Z.
Okay.
They are
lock and load.
Yeah, right. This is rap rock metal punk.
Let's see.
Ooh.
Exactly like what we thought it was.
Yeah, good and lame and fun.
Oh, wow.
I like them.
Yeah, chimps.
Chimpsies.
Oh, and then there's the chimps. It has some chimps on instruments.
Either way, I'm rooting for you, central chimps. You know, hopefully you're able to pull this out, but it seems like these Western guys are... a little more tough.
I would like to send you in to negotiate, Eddie. I think that if you went in...
All right. So, we got a peanut machine for...
All right. This is called a fleshlight. All right, now I'm going to demonstrate how you all use the fleshlight.
All right, you're going to want to spend extra time looking at this one, Goliath.
All right, come on now, take a look. Everybody come closer. Come closer.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, wow. We did it, Eddie.
What a nice day. Do we have any listener mail? Do we have any listener mail stingers left?
We do, actually.
Oh, I kind of wanted... What did you think? I wanted to know... I wanted to think of a new bit for us. I sent it to you, but we never talked about it, I guess. Where it's just like, I wanted to talk... Where are we eating? We're going to be in Lexington soon. I want to know where we're eating.
No, because Jackie already has a whole food-based thing she has shoehorned in her fucking show.
What are we eating?
We can't just do... Eddie wants to do a segment that's just called, What We Eat?
What We Eat?
That people send us.
Where we go?
So people can tell us restaurants.
But I go in because restaurants are having a hard time. I want to support restaurants.
Well, we do it anyway.
And we do it anyway.
If we make a what we're eating.
I just want
eating.
I want a stinger. Oh, I'm so hungry.
Side Stories LP Hotel.
I love stingers.
I like stingers. Stingers are great.
I do too.
Yeah. Make an I'm so hungry one, please, sir.
Yeah, if we could. Oh, God.
We got a lot of mail about the NASA.
One thing I thought was interesting is that someone brought up within the NASA, like, because we were being very funny about the Artemis II. I'm glad that they splashed down safe and they did all this shit and it's promoting space travel. And we're like, there's a lot of people who are like, it's a hopeful thing to think about. That's why we like it.
Yes.
We're thinking about it. We know that Artemis II and the Artemis program has extended like what they want to do. They want to build a base on the moon in order to go from the moon to Mars.
Technology should be leaning towards us learning, you know.
I do understand. I do understand, but I also will say I got a really interesting email that I thought brought a interesting perspective about NASA. Is that it's an extremely exclusive place to work. It's hard to get a job there, and 95% of people that try to get a job at NASA actually work in the military industrial complex making propulsion technology and working for them to blow shit up and kill people.
Oh,
so it does kind of seem that NASA might be sort not propaganda as much as it's a way to inspire people to get into these industries, which then we use to kill people.
Once you get really good, they're like, hey, How would you like a raise?
Literally, and then they bring you over to make stuff that blows people up.
Yeah.
But I
How would you like to live inside of a mountain?
My only issue, because again, I love space travel. I guess, and I am excited about space, and I do believe in aliens.
I want more of it.
But I do believe a lot of shit's going on here right now, which is why like I have some issues with it, right? Like only just because there is a lot going on and the economy's in the shitter. It is I just paid $7.75 a gallon. For a for gas.
Where are you?
Shit. In the neighborhood. And I just think that we need to have a little bit of perspective, and I'm going to just read this little poem real quick so you can can feel a little bit of perspective. This comes from Gil Scott Heron. A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon.
Yep.
I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. The man just upped my rent last night because Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me. Is it because Whitey's on the moon? Well, I was already giving him 50 a week with Whitey on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. Junkies making me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that shit wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arm began to swell. And Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon?
Yep.
How come I ain't got no money here? Hmm? Oh, Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these Dr. Bill's airmail special to Whitey on the moon. And the only one, because again, I love it. I love space travel. But we do have a lot of fucking problems here. So I would say we might want to focus on some of them, because some of these are going to get our precious CEO killed.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Altman, he's in danger.
Oh, he certainly is in
danger. He's in danger, so we better be careful with that.
Someone threw a Molotov cocktail at his house.
Mm. Oh, no.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Oh, no. All right, so this is the last real email that I want to read that I thought was interesting.
Please.
Last little response to our March Madness. These are my favorite responses. The reason why I'm reading this is because it's an awesome response. It's the detail I like to see, and it's the kind of person I trust to make these types of decisions.
Put this some time into your response.
This is an active DM.
This is a guy unemployed.
Yo, no, he's employed. He specifically puts that in his email.
Okay.
That he did this on company dime.
Oh, great. Even better.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons updated Master Monster Manual that was released in 2025 actually includes a stat block for something called a flesh golem, whose flavor text referring to it as body parts bound together by misused magic or strange science. And it's included aversion to fire trait, making it the ideal candidate to stand in for our Boris Karloff Frankenstein's monster. The 1985 Chicago's Bears, though, is a little trickier, because there's not many creatures that can honor their legendary defensive line and an astonishing 4 shutout. The closest thing would be a werebear, but 8 of these could be much too powerful to make an entertaining fight. So in honor of the mascot and for its claw attack ability to knock an opponent prone, simulating a tackle, we will be using the stat block of a brown bear. Both of these creatures' statistics are attached. What makes the matchup interesting is that while their armor classes and attack bonuses are different, AC 11 to 9, attack plus 5 to an attack plus 7, they actually even out, so both creatures only need a roll of 4 or higher on a d20 to hit. That's an 85% chance. However, both parties have vastly different damage output, with our Frankensteins delivering over twice as much potential damage per round as a bear, 26 max damage versus 12 max damage, respectively, in a one-on-one matchup, and as a 5.77 times as much health, 127 hit points versus 22 hit points as a brown bear. Hypothetically, with each Frankenstein would be able to take out one brown bear per round, napkin math probability, for 213 damage hits at 85% come up to about 22 damage average. Bear damage comes out to a little over 10 damage, and with each bear only having an average of 22 hit points, things aren't looking good, with the Frankensteins reducing the number of bears and therefore their damage output per round. If all 8 bears focus on a single Frankenstein at a time, and the bears act first since they have plus one to their initiative versus the Frankenstein's minus one, they'd still be losing at least two bears per round since both Frankensteins would be attacking. After the first two bears die, their damage output drops from around 81.6 to 61.2. The second round has another two bears die, but there would be more than enough bears to take down one Frankenstein with at least one bear attack to spare. This brings the next round to one minorly wounded Frankenstein versus four bears. Third round have the bears strike with an average of 40.8 points, bringing the last Frankenstein to around 70.4 HP, wherein he'll be killing another bear and further decreasing their damage output. This would continue on and on, and assuming no critical hits, there would be no bears standing and a single Frankenstein barely alive but victorious with approximately 9.4 hit points. Interesting. However, remember that claw attack?
Yeah.
Our brave sports ballers have the ability to knock an opponent prone, right? Which gives the attacker advantage, approximately plus five their attack chance, and the defender disadvantage, negative five attack chance. This will increase the bear's average damage output to approximately 11 and decrease our Frankenstein's average damage output to around 21, which is just barely enough for a bear to survive. Instead of two bears per round, the 1985 Chicago Bears would be able to knock the abominations over quickly enough for a few key bears to get a good hit in, for the Frankensteins to be enabled a good whack. They would then be enough to take down the shambling monster quicker in the second round so they can turn their attention to the final opponent, and almost half of our Super Bowl 20 able to Super Bowl shuffle their way to victory. Wow.
Well, they don't have claws, though, because they're humans.
I fucking can't even. He didn't even listen to any of it, Rob.
I just hate that.
Not a single bit of it entered.
I saw him tune out.
He, I know, a single bit of it. He couldn't figure it out.
I just had no idea D&D had this much math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me hate it more.
I just, no, it's
awesome. I thought it was just play pretend.
No, it makes it real.
Now it's math,
too? No, math makes it real.
And imagination?
No, math is what makes it real.
It's math and improv together.
Yeah.
But they're not bears. They're humans.
But he... Thank you for your service, my good sir. And also, he said that took about 60 of our tax dollars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, instead of working on spreadsheets. Well, that's what he said.
That's good. I appreciate that. I like you spending our tax money that way instead of us just sending and putting them into missiles.
Honestly, we're just paying it right now. So it's all...
Man, it was a hard year to pay taxes. Shout out to tax day today.
Yeah, it was.
Fucking assholes, man.
Well, love every day.
By the way, one of the members of the 85 Bears defense, Steve Mongo McMichael, just died of CTE.
Great.
Mongo. Well, he died last year, but he now has. But it was just revealed that he had CTE.
Wasn't that from Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, that was Mongo, but that was Alex Karras, who played for the Detroit Lions.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, love every day, knowing you're gonna learn new facts about Blazing Saddles every single day of your life. You're never gonna stop. Live knowing you got a little puppy who's trying to come at you in your exit, in your outro. Yeah, and your little puppy.
He's done, man.
And I laugh and I love. I love little champ.
Oh, but we got a lot of shows coming up. We're going to be in Anchorage this weekend. Come see us. If you're there, you already got tickets. That's good. Fairbanks almost sold out. There's some tickets. Get those left. Portland's almost sold out. Get tickets for that. Lexington, Kentucky on April 26th. That one's almost sold out. Get tickets to that if you can. Netflix is a joke. Plenty of tickets. Going against.
Yeah, honestly, please.
Listen. Stars.
Come to Netflix. We're up against these fucking movie stars. They suck, all right? They won't be there for you.
Yeah.
We'll say hello after the show.
We have our own special guests coming, too, so don't worry about that. We got our own fucking stars.
We got special guests coming.
That's right.
We also have a new Miseducation of Ed Larson. It's on Patreon this week. Go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft to also pay to listen to us ad-free, and also you can see Last Stream on the Left live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. PST.
That's right. Rochester, New York on May 30th. That one sold out. Our shows are selling out, bro. These side store shows are fucking awesome.
We're in blast.
London, Ontario, still got a couple tickets left. That's going to be on June 28th. Also, I'm on the road. Go ahead to eddietunes.com to see me. Everywhere I'm going, I'm trying out a bunch of weird shit. We're having fun.
You are, yeah. We're having a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah, Denver,
420,
Phoenix,
I have no idea
Plano,
what we're doing for
LA,
that fucking show.
Newark, I'm all over the place. We're going to have a great time.
What are we doing for that Portland show?
The Portland, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to get really high and have fun.
Great.
We were just in Portland, so this is a bonus.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. Y'all fucking come out, man. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, come on, fuckers.
All right. I think that's it.
Hail Satan. We did it.
Yeah. Hail Mongo McMichael.
Mongo!
You know, actually, Mongo, you're cool, but hail George Clinton.
You're
right. For giving me the fucking coolest weekend I think I've ever had. And Danny Bedrosian.
So cool.
What a great time. I couldn't have had a better time. This is a dream come true.
So cool.
Peace.